Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
We're back for week 2 for CF Montreal 3 Questions, our MLS-specific pod. I'm here with Olivier Brett, as we were last week, TV and radio host and voice of CF Montreal on RDS. He was on the coverage with Vendré Lefebvre, is his last name, right?
Yep.
I'm like saying it, I'm like, good God, is that right? And I was on a panel with Patrice Bernier, so it was great to see this team finally up close. And Olivier, I always learn new French words. I expand my vocabulary when I do coverage in French, but Vendré expands it even further because I learned that gauge in French, the G becomes a J and it's jauge.
That's the beautiful thing of having a guy from Quebec City and a guy from the south of France doing the commentary on the same MLS MLS broadcast. So it makes it quite rich in terms of vocabulary.
Well, it's great. I'm adding it to it. I can't promise that I'm going to ever use it when I'm on TV in French, but I loved it. I can jauge up my vocabulary, as it were.
There you go.
Yeah. So MLS is back. A new look CF Montreal is back. And we're going to ask 3 likely unfair questions of this team, only one game into the season, where there seems to be a clear plan laid out for development of a distinct playing style. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of discussion about what that would be in theory, but we saw it in action in Saturday's resilient draw versus a potent Orlando side. So the 3 questions that we're going to take a look at are your overall impressions, Ollie, of the team in game 1 of the Courtois era. Who impressed? Who disappointed? And how much rotation will we see in advance of the next match versus Dallas? Because They start this season 6 games on the road. They're back training at home at Marie-Victorin Indoor Complex here in Montreal. So that will hopefully recharge the batteries. And can we expect to see the team execute a similar tactical approach with likely different personnel and some rotation in there? So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an interesting program.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be doing it with you. So we'll start off with 1. So what were your overall impressions, Ollie? I mean, obviously, you've got the bird's eye view. You're calling the game. And were your impressions of the game the same today? We're Tuesday recording this as they were immediately following that performance.
I'd say it doesn't change because you spoke about a resilient performance. I think that's correct. But it wasn't resilient in a sense of just hang on for dear life and hope not to be aboard a sinking ship. It's a team that tried to play football. They were against, yes, an Orlando team that was in British Columbia just a few days before. So it was close to 10,000 kilometers there and back before your first MLS game. So that was obviously a bit harsh on Orlando, but It's a team that finished second last year, and it's a team that, contrary to CF Montreal, isn't looking to make the playoffs. They're looking to win MLS Cup. So I think you need to consider that. The opponent, the fact that you were away, and the fact that you only had one draw and three losses, most losses heavy in preseason. I think that's a good argument to say that preseason results don't count for much, because it's a Montreal team that we were told would look a lot more like 2022 than 2023. And I think that's absolutely correct. It's a team that came out, tried to keep the ball. You felt they were struggling at times, because physically, I don't think that team's anywhere close to what it's going to be in May. And you know what? Laurent Courtois, before the game, said, we had choices to make. I was named on January 8th. That was a few days before all the players had to report to Montreal for medicals. You don't have the time to do everything in a preseason with a new coach and close to 10 new players. So they had to make choices where tactical and technical stuff were prioritized. And I think that physically, it's a team that's really going to grow. The good news is it's a team that's not injured. Whereas last year at this time, the place was falling apart because they went way too heavy on the physical side. And for that, I think we need to tip our hat to Barthélemy Delacroix, the fitness coach, because he was the same guy who was there last year. He made adjustments a year ago. He made more adjustments now. And you see the results they got, because it's a team that's going to get quite fit. And it has to be fit, because you saw it, Amy. Laurent Courtois, what he's asking of his players in terms of keeping the ball, being available for everyone, being brave on the ball, and especially pressing the opposition hard to get it back quick, you're going to need to be really, really fit to play under him.
Yeah, you hit a couple of things there. So there are learnings at work with staff members who are back. And is it a blessing in disguise, do you think, that the Olympic Stadium is the shit show that it is? So this team is forced to be on the road. And Laurent Courtois has talked about this, these six games on the road is almost like a mini tournament, in his words. I think that helps players to compartmentalize it, to see it as like a short-lived type of thing where you get up for it. You're in hotels together. You get a chance to really dig into that team culture, that team mentality. But maybe from a fitness standpoint, yes, they will still be working towards something. They're not going to be at full fitness immediately. But in terms of injuries and playing consistently on turf, maybe it's a bit of a blessing in disguise.
The point you're mentioning about the mini competition, the mini championship, I think that's absolutely crucial, because if I'm a player, the message I'm receiving is you will be judged like you always are, but you'll be judged differently on this than you will be for what comes after. And I think that brings an awful lot of focus instead of bringing an awful lot of stress to get points in a very difficult environment. Because, and I'm not talking about a hostile environment, because I wouldn't say it was hostile in Orlando, but we all know that getting points away in MLS is extremely difficult. Last year, Montreal got their first points in Kansas City. It was April 29th. They got their first point on February 24th this season. And last year was the sixth away game in, a seventh overall. So I think that's huge. And I think that if you manage to get a few points along the way over those first six games that are away, if you get to five, ideally 7 points, mentally you come back so strong, because you feel that you accomplished something and you won't even be, what, a third of the season in. So yes, I think it can be a blessing, but as we saw last year, it could also be potentially a real problem, because the points you never got at the beginning of 2023 are the points that you were missing when you were 2 points short of making the playoffs.
Right, when you're sitting on the sidelines watching.
Exactly.
Who was it New again? York. Was it Tolkien? Yeah, convert on that penalty. Yeah.
Against Nashville, exactly.
Right, that was pretty depressing as a scene. But anyway, you're right. So if you're able to garner these points early on, you put yourself in better stead as you move through. You also mentioned right off the top the press. So this was something I think we expected to see, but the way that it was executed, especially in those first 10 minutes, what it gave to the team in terms of energy, what you saw in certain individuals, the way they had that combativeness, the willingness to get stuck into tackles, win tackles, the counter press, and the type of energy that then that imbued into the side, I thought was really positive. I think you also saw a player, and we'll get to individuals in a bit, but I'm going to touch on it here, like Bryce Duke, insulated by experience, where last year I found he was particularly lost on the press where he wasn't, he was unsure, even their man-to-man, which they think they typically did, or a zone. If he wasn't triggering the press, he was very, very unsure of where he was to go next. So I think that collectively, it looked like a very sound press, but also a successful one that led to the creation of lots of chances and combination play and shots from distance, which we didn't really see last year.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, this is a way. And that was a huge issue for last season, because when Samuel Piet comes back from Atlanta, or he's still in Atlanta last year, they got beaten, what was it, 4-1? And he says, things aren't clear. We're not on the same page. And at the very end of the season, when Gabriel Gervais was saying, well, I wasn't really satisfied on decision day when I saw the team in Columbus in the second half not really pressing and the effort wasn't there. Yeah, but would you keep pressing all the time if you felt you were just chasing your own tail? And that was the issue, especially away, because at home, there was that comfort of knowing your surroundings. And I think the team allowed itself to play football a bit more. Away, it wasn't the case. And that's a huge difference, because the message you're sending your team, if you're Laurent Courtois, is we're going to go at them at home and we're going to go at them away. We're not going to change our DNA. And when Thierry Henry came in, because we give a lot of praise, rightly so, to Wilfried Nancy for having had that incredible season in 2022, where away or at home, the vision, the philosophy always stayed the same. But what's often forgotten is that when Thierry Henry came in, one of the first conversations he had was with Wilfried Nancy, who was part of the staff before that with Rémi Garde. And Wilfried said, the second we hop on the plane, we already lost points. We dropped points. And that's a mental posture. That's the way we approach playing away, and we have to change that. It was changed a tiny bit under Thierry Henry, but then COVID hit. 2021, they came back during the summer. And then 2022, the mentality was, we don't change anything based on opponents or what pitch we're playing on. That's the kind of message I got from Laurent Courtois, and I think the players are really going to take that on.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because the team did manage to amass a fair amount of points on the road last year, but it was very inconsistent. And there did seem, sorry, just to finish my thought, there was a certain amount of futility. Like, to hear you talking about the press, I remember playing, and maybe you can attest to this as well, if you're flying around and there's no purpose to the press, you don't feel well supported, you just feel like you're perennially chasing the game. And there's nothing worse as a player, because you don't have your bearings. And then you just feel like you're going to be getting bypassed. So I think you feel anchored in the intent and in the clarity of the messaging from the coaches, but then also I think from the players around you understanding what their individual roles are. And then you just are better prepared, whether you're on the road, which is inherently more difficult, or at home. And as you said, there's a consistent thread. So it doesn't matter. We are who we are, whether we're at home or at Stade Saputo or we're at the enemy's grounds.
And you're absolutely right. It brings clarity and it brings accountability as well. Because if you're in the middle of the park, you're Samuel Piet or Mathieu Chouanière, if whoever has the first cue to start pressing, you understand the chain of events that's supposed to happen. Whereas last year, you felt that somebody went, but it was on a whim. They were winging it. And then the next person didn't know, am I going? Am I staying? Will the coach be happy? Will my teammates follow? And that was a disaster. And that's the reason why I believe they only picked up points in four of their 17 away games last year and eight overall. It was 35 away points the season before. So I don't think you'll get to 35 this year, but will you get above 8 points overall on 17 games away? I'm convinced they will do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good start in that regard anyway. So we will take a really quick break. And when we get back, we will address the rest of our questions. We'll be right back.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back, and we will get into, that was a little bit long-winded, probably entirely my fault, but we will get into individuals. Yep. So, Ollie, who impressed, who disappointed? And again, after this, I'd like you to address, because what I was excited to see about Courtois were his tendencies, maybe the way that he looks at substitutions, the timing of them, what he's looking to do when he shakes things up. And obviously the game will dictate that, but maybe that as well. So first of all, individuals who impressed and maybe who disappointed.
I might be a bit, obviously, like you think of Matias Kokoro and you say, okay, he's really got something about him. I think he's going to be an incredible fighter up front. I was talking to you about it last week. I think he's going to attract an awful lot of fouls. Wilder Cartagena should have been sent off.
Oh, my God.
If not for a straight red, at least for the second yellow. And Oscar Pereira is not stupid. He took him off at halftime, and I think that was the most blatant confirmation that he should have been sent off. When your coach knows and he pulls you off at halftime, it's because he knows you've got another 10 minutes in you and you'll be gone. So Kokoro is going to be interesting. Yankov, in terms of surprising me positively, Yankov was the guy. Because Laurent Courtois was always telling us he's got something special to play between the lines. Technically, I think he's interesting. You were talking about taking shots from long range. I think he's one that could score a good few or at least be really dangerous from outside the box. But the part that I was surprised with was the fight that he has in him. I wasn't expecting a guy who'd be that hungry to win the ball back, who'd put in a shoulder. He's not the biggest guy, but he is solid. So that's going to be really interesting. And he's a guy who could have been kind of off because physically we said it, that team wasn't, and the pairs aren't where they're going to be in a few weeks' time. But I thought he was really solid. Finish off on the positive side, Rouen, I think, is going to be one of the most influential signings of the season.
And showing off a little bit in how you pronounce his name, I'm just going to say.
And we won't talk about him that much, but he'll be so important at going down the line at very specific times, making sure that there's an option out wide to go forward and bring everybody up the pitch. And obviously crossing, which was a nightmare last year in terms of delivering quality crosses in the box. I think that's going to be a huge asset. The only guy that I'd say is a bit disappointing, you were talking about Bryce Duke at the beginning of the game. I completely agree. But when you're an attacking midfielder, when you want the ball, you can't be caught so often surprised because you didn't see it coming. You don't need to scan as often as Lionel Messi. You need to do it once in a while. And he got caught, what, two, if not three times, absolutely off guard because somebody was behind him. And you just didn't look. You never look because the guy was there. There was no reason for you to be surprised by that. And for a guy who's already not the most solid physically, he's not the guy who looked for 50-50 challenges. I think he needs to make sure that when there's somebody behind him, he's prepared to protect the ball. Because if he loses it like that, I think we'll see Opoku taking his spot really, really quickly.
Yeah, interesting points, because what you said about Yankov, about, you know, he does have this ability where the ball seems stuck to his feet. His ability to operate in those tight pockets, mm-hmm. and to not hide and to be available and to want the ball. But then, as you said, to not shy away from those duels, those tackles, and for the most part, coming up on the right side of all those. I think I was surprised by, and I alluded to Courtois and his choices, and it's maybe a fitness thing, and maybe it was even predetermined that Yankov came off before Duke did.
Yep.
You know, we'll see. Maybe again, that was something that they discussed, because I thought he was much more influential. I thought Duke did very well at the beginning, but then you saw as he was continually dispossessed, not scanning, not aware of what his next action was going to be to sort of solve it before the ball got to him, that there was a reticence on the player's part to find him. They weren't looking for him as an outlet. And he was hiding a little bit. And I'm going to again make it like, tie this to the Prem, but the reason why I love Darwin Nunez, and these are not the same type of players, but despite opportunities that he misses, you know, despite not converting and having the composure that we maybe liked him to have as Liverpool supporters, he never hides. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did not like. That's one aspect that stood out to me, all the reasons you listed, but I felt like he was hiding after a while. And I don't like that.
And you need to be showing yourself when times are hard as well. And I think that's an aspect, like CF Montreal is still looking for the replacement for Georgi Mihailovic. Maybe yeah. Yankov is that, maybe Bryce Duke becomes that. But for all the faults that Mihailovic had when he came over from Chicago Fire, he wasn't that involved. Physically, he was told by Laurent Simon, for one, that he needed to get physically involved a bit more. He wasn't shying away from that. Even when times were tough, you felt that he was trying to get in between the lines, be an outlet, or at least create something. Bryce Duke, in the offseason, he worked with a mental coach because last year was really hard for him. I spoke to him in Orlando a few weeks ago, and he was saying that being taken off at halftime as often as he was telling me, listen, I don't think across the league anyone was taken off at halftime as much as me. And at some stage, when you don't get any explanation as to why, and that was a big issue last year under Hernan Losada, communication, well, you start doubting yourself and you start asking a ton of questions. So I think that was a very mature move in the off season for Bryce Duke to start working with a mental coach. He also decided to trade the ball for more gym work in the off season because he sees that he needs to get involved physically a bit more. So the beginning of the game is the benchmark for him, and the rest of it, well, he needs to make sure that he's able to give himself another swing at it when the times get a bit harder or the opposition has more of the ball.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we spoke about that on the Footy Prime podcast about Lasada's tendency to do that. And part of me as a pundit loved that he kind of didn't give a shit, that he just was going to take players off and make the changes that he felt like he needed. But usually it's because the first half was shambolic and he was forced into that type of adaptation. That happened to me once. I got pulled at halftime and I didn't make eye contact with anybody. I was just absolutely, it was just kind of, I don't know, I was so embarrassed. So I understand what he's saying about that. I would expect Courtois to talk to him, as you just alluded to, about the bright moments in the game and to say, this is what you need to do consistently. And if he can do that over the course of 90 minutes, then he will secure a starting role or he will get more playing time. But I agree with you. If we look at sort of the whole of his performance, I would see Opoku probably taking that role from him. But another positive and a bright spot in that game was Jonathan Serrois and his return to clean sheets, 11 clean sheets in 2023. And he's able to really get that over the line, get that result for the team. Because the second half, I thought CF Montreal came out flat and Serrois played hero for CF Montreal.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there was nothing really fancy about it, which we were kind of apprehensive about. I think they will be trying to get the goalkeeper involved a lot more this season. But I also think that they're aware of where they are in that process. And I think it was a sober performance, especially on the ball. There was nothing outlandish that was tried by the goalkeeper or defenders trying to involve the keeper when they shouldn't have. And then in terms of making saves, I mean, mentally, Jonathan Serrois, Amy, is like, how solid is that guy? Because it's a hard season now. It's your second season. It's confirmation. They invested in you. He has a contract that could keep him at the club until 2027. And at this time last year, he was a number two, and he had never played a single minute before the first game of the season opener in 2023. He'd never played an MLS minute, and now he's there, and you feel that he knows that his place is to be a first, a starting goalkeeper in MLS. It just shows you. 2 years ago, he was on the bench in CPL, and now he's an undisputed starter in MLS with Montreal. It just shows you how solid he is mentally.
Yeah, it's very impressive. He's mentally strong, but he also has a composure and a maturity that belies his years. So I think CF Montreal in good hands with him between the sticks. So just to finish off, what do you think about this next matchup? They're back home and out now training, as I said, in Dallas on the weekend. So do you think that there will be a lot of rotation coming into this game, or will we see a pretty similar starting 11 that we did against Orlando?
Since you're still trying to get your bearings, it was a great start, but it's nowhere near the finished article. Would I change much? No, I wouldn't change much at the back. Jonathan Serrois is not going to move. I don't think Joseph Martinez is ready to start up top. And I think the reps are important for Kokoro. Could you change Bryce Duke for Opoku? Probably. But the rest, then it becomes a question of how engaged do you want to keep everyone? And that's going to be crucial, because we always talk about Wilfried Nancy and the style of play. But it was the style of play from the first to the 28th guy on the roster. Everybody was involved at some stage or another. And you never felt that there were any passengers or second-class citizens in his team. Obviously, when it got closer to the end of the season, you had a kind of a typical starting 11. But you never felt that anyone was really neglected. How fast does Laurent Courtois bring in a Victor Wanyama, for example, to make sure that he keeps a leadership position and he keeps some sort of authority in the dressing room on the training pitch? I think that's going to be the real question, because in terms of making sure that you get to where you want to be, I personally wouldn't make many changes. Maybe Opoku for Duke, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that the depth that this squad has now with the new signings and with veterans like Wanyama, who's looking to reestablish himself after a difficult season last year, I think it'll be a tricky balancing act. But I think as a coach, these are the types of headaches that you want. And that's how you're going to have success, because you have real depth in your squad.
Absolutely. And you have a fully fit squad, because at this time last year, Hernan Losada was missing, what, 6, 7, at times 8? Players. It's completely different, which is great, but it gives you more picking options, but it gives you more guys to leave on the bench as well, which is a kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it from us for this week. Thank you again, Ollie. It's always great to chat.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and also great. And you know, we're trying to get a foothold in the Quebec market here. It's tough, but I think that there's an audience for us here. I think there's an Anglo audience that's looking to see what's going on with their club, and hopefully we're providing that for you. So tonybet.ca for any wagers you'd like to place, fubotv.com/footyprime for all your Premier League, Ligue 1, Serie A, and One Soccer. The women's national team play Costa Rica in their final game tomorrow, and the U.S. just was on the wrong end of a 2-0 defeat to an exciting Mexico side. So tune into the Women's Gold Cup there. But cheers for listening, and keep supporting independent podcasts. And Ollie, before I sign off, that should have been it there. Where can people find you? And is there anything that you would like to plug?
I would like to plug, no. You can come and see me on social media. I've got a pretty unusual name. I don't think there are too many on the planet. So Olivier Brett, you'll find me Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or rather X and the likes. So just come in and have a chat.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Ollie.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Always
all the best.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.